morning, everyone. It's good to see you all logged on. I'm going to be sharing a little bit. Early hours this morning, God challenged me to change it a little. So I was up from 4 this morning working on this. So pray as I speak. But God has been highlighting the book of Nehemiah to me, and I've been studying it throughout the last few weeks. And I just want to give you a brief overview of half of the story of Nehemiah. So at the beginning, Nehemiah is in exile. He's no longer in Jerusalem. He's a slave. And he's serving as cupbearer to the king, Artaxerxes. And now, usually when you're the cupbearer, you're trusted to give wine to the king. And the wine is good. It's not poisoned or anything like that. So you have to be the most trusted servant to have this role. So as Nehemiah is serving the king, some travelers from Jerusalem come and he meets them and he's like, what's going on in Jerusalem, in my home city? So they tell him it's not good. It's not good at all. The walls are destroyed. The city is destroyed. The people aren't together. There's no unification. And this really, really is sad to Nehemiah because this is home and everybody loves where they've come from. I don't know if you've met any internationals that have come through that they get really excited when you know where they live and where they're originally from, and just the pride that goes with that. So this saddens Nehemiah and he starts grieving and crying out to God and being like, God, is there any way that we can restore this city? So God gives him instructions and instantly Nehemiah obeys. So Nehemiah is in the presence of the king, giving him his wine, looking sad. And the king's like, why are you so upset, Nehemiah? Nehemiah's like, my city is destroyed. My people are scattered. And I'm sad because of that. And so the king's like, what do you want me to do about that? And Nehemiah thinks and he prays. And God says, ask for letters for safe passage, letters for getting supplies, and then a letter for a place to stay from the king, because it holds all power. So basically the king would be paying for everything, including the letters of protection. So Nehemiah asks the king these things right there and then, just instant obedience. He hears what God is saying and he speaks it out. So then the king's like, okay, you can do that, but you have to come back after. So Nehemiah's in agreement. So he leaves, heads to Jerusalem, gets there, gets his accommodation set up. And in the middle of the night, he sneaks out where no one knows. And he scouts out the city in what it looks like. And the walls are completely destroyed. There's no protection on the city. So Nehemiah's like, something really needs to be done. So he gathers all the clans and he asks them and says, we need to rebuild our inheritance. We need to rebuild the city. And I have it on the word of God. I have these letters from the king, Artaxerxes. We can get supplies. We can build. So the clans agree. So each clan works side by side and they build up the wall and the gates. And as you read, it shows like who built what in what clan. So it's going pretty good, but in Jerusalem, there are also enemies of the Israelites, people that have put them in slavery, people that have mocked them, jeered at them, and they're surrounding this city. And so as these Israelite clans are working, they're constantly wearing them down with their words and threats. So they're like, this is never going to happen. But the enemy starts to panic because the wall connects and it goes halfway up. And the enemy's like, oh no, they're doing this. They're actually succeeding. This is terrible. So then they gather and they're like, we're going to go and attack. But they gather in a way that they can speak and they can hear. So the Israelites hear some of the threats. And Nehemiah's like, this is putting fear into the people. We can't let our guard down, because our God is great. So he does a few things. He sets a watchman day and night over the whole city. So there's hardly any sleep for these watchmen. So the day and night, they're going back and forth and they're working during the day. They're watching during the night. He arms men in the lowest parts, so where there's gaps where it's easily to be attacked, he arms them. Then he brings all the Jews from all the outlying areas into the city, so that there's no way that they are going to be harmed, but they'll be protected by those building the wall. And then he arms the construction workers. So you have construction workers that have their tools. They have a sword or a spear attached to them, their belt. They're building this wall. Then you have people that are set on watch on the watchman towers who have a sword or spear in their hand, and they're working to help build the wall with the other hand. And they're never letting go of their weapons. They're constantly looking around and building. So this becomes really exhausting for the people because they're constantly on their guard. They're constantly checking every weak area. But God gradually helps them to build up the wall. Something else that Nehemiah does is he keeps a close watch himself on what's going on, never resting, just walking around the city continuously, checking on areas, making sure the people are okay. Then he also kept a trumpeter near him. So if something were to happen, the trumpeter would sound his trumpet and people would gather and fight. And then he called the people together also just to remind them that God actually spoke at the beginning and sent him to restore the city wall, to restore the city to what it was once, so that they could worship God together as a unified nation, so they could see God's glory fall. And so in all those words of remembrance of what God had spoken in the past, it strengthened and unified them. And then he said, stand ready to fight in any situation, but work fast. And so gradually, as you read through the book, they manage it. The wall is built, it's secure, and they start working on homes in the city, and God protects them from their enemies. There's a little bit more to the story, but that's the part I wanted to cover, because I kind of want to go into a little bit of prayer life. In our prayer life, and link it to the story. So what does prayer do? Number one, brings intimacy between us and God. It helps us to have a conversation with God both ways. Now, if you're hungry for something, you eat it and you're filled up. But spiritual hunger for God is one, not desperation for him. Desperation comes from not being in the presence of God and missing it. But hunger for God is being in his presence and pursuing more of it. And the more you're in his presence, the more you're having a conversation with him, the more he gives you, the more you're enlightened, and the more you know what to pray into. In Romans 12:2, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So as we pray, we need to hear with God's hearing. We want to see with God's eyes. So we want to pray that over us. Prayer also gives us a voice to stand in the gap for those that are voiceless, those that don't have the opportunity to actually fight for themselves, those that don't know who God is. And so as we're moving forward and as we're praying, we want to fight for those that can't fight for themselves. Because remember, love doesn't compromise. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Which when you look at COVID-19 in this country and what's been happening, you can gradually see God moving, even in the little things. And I'll go into that a little bit more later. 2, prayer helps us to understand who we are in Christ. We as Christians are blessed to be a blessing. When you become a Christian and you give your life to God, it doesn't end with you. Then you need to spread the word. You need to be able to go out and share the gospel with others. No matter what fear is there, you have a God that loves you and redeemed you. And you want to see others redeemed so that they don't end up not being with you in heaven and eternity. John Wesley, a man known for preaching the gospel, especially in our area long, long time ago, said prayer is where the action is. And so we start the action with prayer. And then we walk out in obedience to what we're praying and what we hear God saying. 3, it focuses our attention on God and truth and helps us break down barriers built by culture and society around us. So step out in the possible in our faith so God can do the impossible. In John 5:14, it says, and this is the confidence we have toward him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. He doesn't just hear us, he works at it. So what holds us back from a prayer movement or a prayer life in ourselves? 1, doubt that what we've prayed won't happen, that it's just empty words. But God hears those words. He sets them in his heart and he starts moving. Listening to the voice of the enemy. God didn't say that. God won't do that. Why are you going to pray that over that person? That's not going to happen. But God has already spoken it, and we need to stand firm in that. Laying down the fight too soon, or not relying on God's timing to be greater than our own. And then not learning about and understanding God's nature and character, who he is and how he works, which you find obviously in the word and also in the presence of God. And then 5, also a choice. Do you pray? Do you pray enough? Do you pray on a daily basis? Do you want to pray? Do you know how to pray? It's just simple. It's like closing your eyes and having a conversation with God. And no other religion or faith can do that. But in the Christian faith, God came down to earth and he taught how to pray. And he said, pray to me. And it's kind of building that foundation of relationship. So this morning, what I wanted you to learn the most is that if you pray and if you're in communication with God consistently and he says to do something, don't doubt him. Step out in faith. It doesn't happen right there and then. Keep doing it because God's going to do breakthrough in you and throughout this nation.